Welcome to this episode of MC Forward, a podcast that focuses on Montgomery College individuals who are leading from where they are. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Mills. Joining me today is Tykesha Reed, IT Training Coordinator. Tykesha, I appreciate you taking time out to join me to have a conversation about leadership.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
So when I was doing a little research before recording, I came across a website that you have that talks about a couple of organizations that you have founded and co-founded, focusing on the self-esteem, social development, mentoring, and empowering of young girls and women. Tell me a little bit about that. Why is it important to you?
So it's very important. I consider myself a humanitarian. I am always trying to help others. When the organization, so I have two organizations, one deal with women and one with young girls. And I've just always wanted women and young girls to be their best self. So I'm passionate about self-esteem. With me growing up being taller than most people, you know, my mom always instilled in me to have high self-esteem. And so I grew up having high self-esteem, but I always had women, children, people come up to me and say, "Do you like your height? I can't believe you wear heels." And there's just so many people that have a stigma with being tall. And to me, it comes from lack of self-confidence. And so I decided we need to start with the young generation and build them up, help them to have high self-esteem, help them to love themselves, help them to make good decisions, and to just be their best self. And as I started working with children, their mothers started to come along and enjoyed some of the mentoring. I did a mother-daughter tea party and some of these things they hadn't experienced. And so I found that there was a lot of women that also need that same, They also need that same coaching, that same guiding and mentoring to help them to continue in spite of them having good jobs and families. They still needed that guidance of how to love yourself, how to invest in your self-care, and how to just be your best self. Because as women, we're often putting other people in front of ourselves and taking care of family, friends, and you know, working and building our lives. But oftentimes we don't take that time to invest in ourselves. So that's kind of how things got started for the women as well as the youth. And it's something that I'm passionate about. I've been doing it probably for about 10 years. I'm catering to different audiences from youth to women, but my work is never ending.
So do you do workshops, webinars? Does it take you around the country to do this?
Yes, I do workshops. I facilitate various workshops on personal development. And for women, it's personal development, talking about leadership, as well as loving yourself, investing in yourself. I do vision board workshops. I recently did one for the American Association of Women and Community Colleges. I often do them for PTAs, for colleges, for various, you know, just various workshops, budgeting, just leadership, just being, you know, all of those within the personal development realm of trying to be your best self, and whether it's your finances, whether it's your education, your job, in various areas.
How does this concept of low self-esteem, especially in young girls and women, impact their leadership opportunities and leadership skills?
It impacts because oftentimes from a young girl, you're taught to be a particular way. So you're taught to not, you know, perhaps not speak up. And so as women, oftentimes we do not take those opportunities. I know there's a study that says that men will take the job and learn the skills later. And a lot of times women will not apply for the job because they don't feel that they have the skills. And so it kind of goes along with that confidence, that just stepping out and doing what you have to do and figuring it out as you go along. And so oftentimes it starts as a young girl. And so my goal is to help develop young girls, develop women to say, "Hey, I can do this. I have the confidence. I'm strong. If I don't know it, I'll get there." And so,
in episodes 1 and 2 of this season, I had a conversation with Shinta Hernandez and Nancy Newton, and we delved in to this idea of gender inequality when it comes to leadership perception and the concept of how young girls on a playground are often identified one way if they're taking a leadership role compared to boys on the playground, and how that plays out later on in the workplace, and the stigma that is attached to that, and the terminology that is attached to that. How does that play out in your workshops?
Well, I don't dig into that too much, but my philosophy is more along the lines of you can do this. You know, you don't have to be labeled angry. You don't have to be labeled bossy. You know, you can have the confidence and still accomplish the goal that you're trying to accomplish. And so I look at it from a different perspective of just encouraging, motivating, and inspiring them versus focusing on the negative part of what others may look at you if you are confident or if you are straightforward or direct.
You had mentioned that your mom had a big impact on your self-esteem and encouraged you to have high self-esteem.
Yes.
Was there a time when you had low self-esteem?
I honestly cannot remember. If so, I don't remember it, because she just was always, and I don't know if it was because she was tall. I never really asked her if she ever had low self-esteem, but I don't know if it was because she was tall. And so she knew, you know, what could come if I didn't have high self-esteem. So I'm not sure, but I don't recall ever having low self-esteem, because from a young girl, she always encouraged me and, you know, just taught me to be confident. The other thing is she was I don't know if you know, but I used to model. Now I teach modeling, but she was also a model. So I don't know if her being a model also had an impact on her teaching me to walk with confidence, keep your shoulders back, keep your head up. You know, you're gorgeous, you're beautiful, you're intelligent, you're smart. And so I don't know, that could have played a role in it as well.
This high level of self-esteem that you have, what kind of leader has it made you?
Well, it's interesting because I'm a very humble person. So while I have high self-esteem, I'm not boastful and I don't brag. And so when it comes to me being, I'm a lot of times not the most outgoing person. But when it comes to leading, if it's something that I'm passionate about, something that I'm interested in, I will take the lead. I will, that self-confidence comes out. In fact, it's so funny because I have people tell me that I am a quote unquote alpha woman, or I have a strong personality, but it's because when I'm leading, that's how I have to be. You know, when I'm running my business, I have to be strong-willed and I have to be confident and I have to be able to lead, because otherwise it won't be successful. But however, in my personal life, that's not me. It's so funny, but when it's time, it's who I am. But you know, otherwise I'm just a really laid back and chill person.
I think it's often true that we're not the same people at work that we are outside of work. Right. I think oftentimes we have to play a role mm-hmm. at work. And I can speak for myself when, you know, at home, if I acted at home the way I have to act at work at times, it would be disastrous.
Yes, I agree. It would be disastrous.
I remember when I got my doctorate, and you know, I said to my boys, just one time, call me doctor. Mm-hmm. And they said, no, you know, absolutely not. We'll call you dad. We're not calling you doctor. So, you know, we go in and out of these roles, I think, depending on our situation, and work is certainly different than home life.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Yes.
So what kind of leader are you? How would you label yourself?
So of course, since I said I'm a humanitarian, I would absolutely say that I'm a servant leader. You know, for me, my goal is always to serve. If I am, you know, regardless if it's a committee, if it's a job, if it is I'm hiring employees for my organization, I'm always going to serve, because for me, it's about the person itself. I believe wholeheartedly that you get the best from people when you are when they are fulfilled. So I always want to know, if I'm on a committee, if I'm hiring someone, what is it that brings you joy? What is it that you like to do? What areas would you like to improve? And those are the things that I believe will help them to be a better person, that will help them to be their best self. And that's going to help them to give their best. And so when there's a beneficial relationship and people are gaining something from the relationship, then they tend to do better because they're getting something out of it. So as a servant leader, when you are catering to your people and finding out, you know, what it is that they need, and your goal is to make sure that they are good and that they are succeeding in their role and they have the resources that they need, then they're going to produce for you.
You mentioned that you ask people what they need to do to improve, and, you know, what can improve an organization. When you look introspectively at Tykesha Reed, what do you need to improve on in your leadership journey?
Ooh, that's a good question. As a leader, I will say delegating. That's one of the things that's not my strong area, because I know as a leader, you should be able to delegate, but also as a leader, I feel like a lot of things are my responsibility. And so that's one of the things, actually delegating and letting the person do what they need to do without overshadowing them. And so just, you know, giving them the task and then following up to see if it's done, and that's it. Not worrying about if it's done the way I would do it, but just allowing them to do it and go through that process. And so that's one of the areas that I am intentionally working on, but it is a weakness for me. So
let me ask you this. In your workshops, you teach self-esteem and you teach these young girls and women that they can do it, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then the delegation piece comes in. So they can do it, but then they have to delegate. Right? How talk about that? Because it sounds like it's the antithesis of one another.
It is, and I think that's probably why it's a struggle for me, because as a leader, I want to be hands-on in everything and I want to do the things, but I know that I can't. And so you have to know when to take a step back and to allow someone else to do it. Also, there are things that as leaders, we're all not good at. And so instead of me or someone else trying to do a task that they're not good at, why not give it to someone on your team that's good at it? Because one, they're going to enjoy doing it because they're good at it. And two, you're probably not going to do as good of a job as they would because this is something that they're great at. So, you know, it is a struggle, but at the end of the day, you know, you have to look at your team and look at the skills to see what everyone has and play on those skills. So if someone's good in this area, let them do that task. If that's not my strong suit, let someone else do it. And so I kind of look at it that way and try to encourage myself, like, okay, no, you don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. All you need to do is check in and make sure that it's getting done.
Looking inside ourselves and identifying what we're not good at isn't easy.
No.
For a lot of people. They struggle with that because we have to come to grips then with our own vulnerabilities. How do you teach that to the groups that you work with?
One of the things is self-reflection, and that is ongoing for me. I'm a life learner, and so I'm always trying to reflect and see what areas I can improve in myself. And so that's one of the things that I also teach. You know, you have to journal, you have to take time to self-reflect, you have to take time. One of the things that came out when I did my vision boards, when I first started doing vision board parties, was that I learned that people do not take the time to actually sit down and write their goals. I'm very goal-oriented. So I don't know, probably from a teenager, I've always done vision boards. My goals always come into fruition and I'm a very visual person. So I need something visual. But what I've learned in doing the workshop over the years is that in my vision board workshops are normally with women. And what I've learned over the years is that oftentimes we don't take the time to, again, sit still for an hour or more and really write out, you know, what is it that I want to do? What happened to that dream that I had years ago before I had children that I never got to do? Or what happened to, you know, a class that I wanted to take or whatever that thing is or things are that you wanted to do but didn't actually take the time to do? And while you are reflecting on that, what areas need to be improved? What am I doing that I can do better? And so that is actually a part of my workshops, the self-reflection and figuring out what you want to do. How can you do it better? How can you be a better person? How can you be your best self? What is going to fulfill you and make you to be your best self?
What's on your vision board now?
So, of course, my doctorate. That is the number one priority, my doctorate. And then actually just self-care. Self-care because I'm a caregiver. I have children. I'm in school. I have a business. I work full time. And so, you know, just being intentional with my self-care. While I teach it, it's still a process for me. Just, you know, making sure that I'm actually intentional. Like I intentionally have to schedule self-care and then schedule these things to make sure that I'm able to give the best of myself to everyone else. Because if I'm tired, I'm worn out, and I'm drained, I can't. So those are actually the things that just, you know, being in better health, working out regularly, and investing in my self-care and traveling. I love traveling. So those are the things that are actually on my vision board.
You had mentioned your children. How do you juggle all that you do with raising a family and then instilling in your children this concept of self-esteem?
So how do people ask me that all the time? How do you do all that you do? And honestly, I say it's God, because I don't know. I honestly do not know. Sometimes I'm just doing a lot and I don't know how I'm able to get it done, but I am. And I believe it's because I'm constantly helping others. And it's actually my daily prayer that I'm a blessing to others every day. And so because I'm constantly blessing others in whatever way, I just believe that it just keeps coming back. The energy and time just keeps coming back to me. And so when it comes to my children, I try to keep them involved in my business so that they are hands-on. One, they can see the entrepreneurship, but also they can see what it's like to run a business. But they can see also when I'm gone doing a workshop, what am I doing? Like, how am I helping others? How am I serving others? And so I try to keep them involved in whatever I'm doing so that they understand that what I'm doing and why I'm doing it and how it's impacting others.
And go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I was just going to say, in terms of the self-esteem part of it, just again, you know, I'm constantly encouraging my children and trying to build them up. And, you know, I just continue to do that along the way.
As we begin to wrap up, earlier in the conversation, you had mentioned that when you bring individuals into your organization, you often ask them what brings them joy. What brings you joy?
What brings me joy is helping others, being with family and friends, and traveling. Those are the three things, my top three things. I get great joy, you know, as I said, my prayer is to bless others. I get great joy out of helping people and sharing information, knowing that they may not receive this information, but also knowing that it can actually change someone's life. And so that brings me great joy, knowing that I'm helping others. Traveling for me, I love traveling, but it's also self-care. And so that's the time that I take when I travel, because people often say, why do you travel so much? It's because it's my self-care. It's how I re-energize myself, how I self-reflect on my quiet times. And that's why I do it so often, because my life is so busy that I need that quiet time away from everyone to just be able to pour back into myself and replenish myself. And then, of course, my family and friends, who I love dearly. I'm very family oriented, so I'm always doing game nights or gatherings or going out as a family and with my friends. And so those things, again, also replenishes me, and I'm sure it is joyful for them as well.
You have such a positive disposition. It has to help you as a leader.
It does. I'm very positive. I believe in positive affirmations. In my office, I have, you know, affirmations around. But yes, I'm a very positive person. And so I just believe that it does help in leadership to have someone that's positive. And it helps being a team player as well. You know, if you have someone on your team that's positive and is optimistic versus someone that's always negative and seeing the fault in everything, you know, that's not helpful.
Hi, Keisha, this was fun for me. I learned a lot about you, but I also learned a lot about this aspect of self-esteem. So thanks for taking time out to talk to me about it.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Mills. I appreciate your offer.
If you know someone who you think would be a great fit for this podcast, have them reach out to me at michael.mills@montgomerycollege.edu. Meanwhile, keep moving MC forward.